We're talking with California actress, but Roanoke native, Andrea Schriemann on one of her frequent Virginia visits. That's because her latest project is producing, writing, and acting in the film A Good Day to Die. Here's the catch. It's described as a comedy about end-of-life planning. Thanks for joining us, Andrea, because this is a very curious project. You're getting into issues of terminal illness, hospice, even assisted suicide. How did this become a comedy?
Well, it's funny because I talked to an agent who the first thing out of his mouth, this was an agent who represents big Hollywood talent actors, and the first thing out of his mouth was, "That's not funny." And I thought to myself, like, if I had been quick enough, my comeback would have been something like, "Neither was kidnapping until Raising Arizona." But, you know, part of what I've done for my career, and I'm not saying kidnapping is funny, but part of what I've done for my career is taken important topics, social issues, and given them a comic spin as a way into the conversation. So for me, in this particular piece, what we've done is we've made these kind of broad characters, and I don't want to give away too much of the film, but it's just the way that they, in a sense, design their own death is very comical. And again, like big set pieces, big props, big characters.
Was it interesting to settle on that topic about end-of-life care at a time when you're really looking at the beginning of life with the birth of your first baby?
Oh, thanks. Yeah. There is a relationship. For me, the relationship is, it's actually one that you can measure and that you can see a lot of metrics on right now as there's a lot more attention to medical care. And the most money is spent at the beginning of life and the end of life. And it's something that as we're starting to evolve in the way that we approach end of life and beginning of life, that a lot of the medical companies are starting to look at as, wait a minute, is that necessary? Or is it really important to spend all that money? I like the comparison. I chose to have my baby at home, and I'm not a spring chicken. I'm not a 28-year-old first mom. I'm, let's just say, over 35. And so it was not something that all people were comfortable with. When I walked into a room, they wanted to push me down a certain road. And they wanted to say, oh, you're over 35. You have to go this way. You're having a dangerous, high-risk pregnancy. And I think that's the same thing that happens at end of life. People look at someone and they say, oh, you've had this, this, and this. You're over 80. You need to go this way. And that the kind of attention and kind of maybe over-medicalizing that's happening in end-of-life care can be compared to the beginning of life. What brought me to the topic and what I feel is, you know, of import is that my mother has had two strokes. And she had before Maverick was born. Maverick was born at the end of 2012. My mother had two strokes, one in 2008 and one in 2010. And that's what really launched me on this journey of looking at end-of-life.
Well, I think you've got the support of some pretty heavy hitters in Hollywood, including actress Cloris Leachman.
Yeah, she's been really wonderful.
Will she be involved in the film?
Well, she is involved in that she's done a lot to help launch the project. And when we started writing the movie, she was in her early 80s, and she was a perfect casting for the role of Lily Bower. But I didn't know when I started this project how many years it would take to develop the script and raise the money. And, you know, I was very used to doing my projects quickly and on the fly. And I really took on a big challenge here. And throughout that time, you know, Cloris has been doing fantastic. She's on a, you know, television show. She's done Dancing with the Stars. She has more Emmys, by the way, than any actor at all, which you may know. But she is a little older than we'd like to cast for the lead role right now. So she may take a different part in the film.
Well, and we should mention that this is a Virginia story because you're hoping to use several Southwest Virginia locations.
We're going to shoot in Roanoke.
Wow. Have you identified your locations
We
yet?
Have a lot of, yes, we've identified a lot of our locations. We'll be shooting at the police station downtown, and I'm meeting with Hotel Roanoke next week, and we're going to shoot a few things in Catawba. But there's a lot of things that happen either on the road, like the highway, and a lot of things that happen in residential homes. So I just met with two friends, one person that I went to high school with, and then another real estate agent who I've become friends with since I've been coming back and forth to Roanoke. And they're going to work as a team to help find some of the other locations.
Well, I think that I've read that you said the film would take about $2 million. I know you started with a Kickstarter campaign. How much do you still need to go? What are you looking for?
We're still at the beginning of our raise. And so, you know, I invite anyone who's interested in investing to reach out to me at my email address, which is contact@thediemovie.com. But we are, a lot of our money's coming from California, Northern California and Southern California, but we do have a few local people who are really excited about seeing this boost to the economy and, you know, want to be close to a film set and to see what's going on behind the scenes, who are also supporting us from here.
And I think you've got a partnership with an organization, Final Exit Network.
Tell me
about that.
Sure. Final Exit Network is acting as a fiscal agent for the film, which means that people can actually write tax-deductible donations to the movie of any size. And they get a tax deduction, and we get to put that toward production. And what's great about that is, for someone who wants to be involved, it's really low barrier to entry, you know, a $5, $50, $100, $250 check. They don't have to write a big check to invest, but now they're part of the family. And I have to tell you, I got this beautiful letter from a woman who has lived with MS. And she said she's lived with it for almost 30 years. She loves what we're doing. She was so grateful to be able to participate. And it was just this really short, sweet letter, but it made me feel like we were giving an outlet to somebody. Not that I'm saying this movie should be made on the backs of people who are dying, but that there was an outlet for her and there was a relationship that she got what we're out there to do. And it was just really nice to know that that door is open for people. You know, the more I hear and, you know, and get my ears to the ground on what's going on in the movement of aging and end-of-life care, people who are baby boomers have now, you know, looked at their parents' deaths and maybe they've had a bad experience or they weren't prepared. And so I think there's a lot more attention on being prepared and planning. And that's something that we're putting out there. You know, as much as my first goal and our first goal is to entertain with this, you know, high concept comedy about end of life, we also are doing a major push to help the public get engaged in a conversation about end of life.
Well, and we should mention that you do have an event that we'd like to let people know about coming up at the Jefferson Center in Roanoke on October 24th in the evening. What's the agenda with that?
First of all, the doors will open at 6. There's going to be a reception and there will be some light snacks served, and then at 6:30 we'll all go into Shaftman Hall and we have some amazing speakers. Karen McNew from WSLS will be moderating the panel, and we have two deans from Virginia Tech Carilion Medical School, Dr. Trinkle and Dr. Aubrey Knight will be speaking, and we have the clergy will be represented with this wonderful pastor, Christine Ziegler. And then we also have an attorney who deals with end-of-life issues coming in from Richmond, and Karen Stockberger, who's on the board at Good Samaritan Hospice.
So that's going on with your goal of sparking conversation.
Yeah, and the panel will be discussing and engaging with the audience about end-of-life and, you know, what people know, what they don't know, what their needs are. There'll be a lot of students there from an ethics class that's being taught right now at Virginia Tech Carilion. And there's also going to be a breakout where people can directly approach any of those folks and ask them questions about resources or their needs.
We were talking about the collaborations involved in fundraising. What about the team behind this effort, even from your professional team, but you've also, I think, got some college students that you've gotten involved with this as well.
Well, we've been very lucky. Hollins University and Roanoke College have both engaged with us in having their students come on board for credit. And we've just had amazing interns. In fact, we have one intern now that's in her second semester with us. And they're just growing in their understanding, mostly of how social media works. But as we get closer to shooting, which will be in the spring, the conversations get more in depth about, you know, cameras and camera angles and sets and locations. And so it's getting more exciting for them. But they're fantastic. I mean, I do a pretty deep, detailed vetting process, because it's really important that we have folks who are on the team who are smart and can move on the fly. And, you know, it's
are offering something, not just
right, not just receiving. Yeah. Right, so right. It's a great exchange. They're wonderful and they are learning and they're helping out a lot.
And then your writing team?
So my partner is named Gregor Collins. He actually wrote a book about his experiences being the caregiver to a Holocaust refugee from the time she was age 91 to 94. And he and I started writing when she was 92. So we've been writing the movie now for working on the script and refining it for 3.5 years. The first year we wrote in her home, her name was Maria Altman, and she's renowned. You can research her. She's renowned in the art world because she won a very famous case against the Austrian government because they owned paintings that had at one time been owned by her family. And I hope I get these numbers right, but they were able to retrieve. It was like an 8-year legal battle. They were able to retrieve the paintings and sell them at auction for, I believe it's $320 million. So they were able to return the fortune of the family. Anyway, he calls his book The Accidental Caregiver, and it's been at the top of the charts in art history on Amazon since he wrote it. She was a wonderful woman, very spirited woman, you know, divided all that money up amongst her family and made sure that there was enough at the hospital for, you know, whenever she needed it. And the opera, she was a big supporter of the opera. She was just this really great character, and a lot of her DNA went into our story. Gregor's a wonderful partner. He's also going to play a role in the film. And then we have a fantastic entertainment attorney who's done over 20 films, who's out of the Bay Area in San Francisco, and our director is from Oakland, and we found her because she did this hilarious haunted house. It's not really a haunted house comedy, but it's basically a horror comedy. And her name is Emily Liu. She's out of Oakland. And then her director of photography, her cinematographer that worked with her on her first film, is joining us on this film.
You'll be acting in this as well, right?
Yeah, and I'll have a part in the movie.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us, Andrea Schriemann, talking about her film in progress, A Good Day to Die, with the slogan, "You haven't lived until you've died." If you want more information, you can find a link to her website and information about the upcoming community conversation and forum in Roanoke on our website, wvtf.org or radioiq.org.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.